Right, so I want to start here. I have in this packet three separate pieces. I'm not sure if we'll make it through them all, but we'll do what we can do. The first piece is Me'ah Shiloah, which is written by the Ishbitzer. The Ishbitzer, his name was Mordechai Liner. And he lived in kind of the beginning of the 19th century. He's famous for, he was the Talmud of the Kutzker Rebbe. And at some point they had a split. I think the story of that split is, there are a few different versions of it. I don't know exactly the story. But they split in a very, very, not such a happy way. And Rav Liner went and started his own Hasidus called the Ishbitz Hasidus, which I just learned also ended up being the Rajinder Hasidus as time went on as well. So that's the Ishbitz. So it's going on the Pasuk here. Just look, the first page is the Pasuk of Tefillin. It says, V'hayu lo'us al yadcha lo'tutafos b'nei necha ki l'chizek yad etzion Hashem Mitzrayim. So that's the Pasuk of Tefillin. Look at Rashi. He's going to talk about this Rashi. It's in brackets. Rashi says, "Tefillin b'nei necha." Tefillin. It means tefillin. So the word totafos is a very interesting word. There's not really any counterpart in anywhere Tanakh for totafos. What's totafos mean? Valshem shehem arba batim kriyim totafos. We call totafos because there's four different compartments. And why does totafos mean four? So Rashi says, "Tat b'kisvi shtayim." And pas be'afriki shtayim. So Rashi is quoting a Gemara, but quoting another language. It says in a language called Kisvi, the word tat means two. And then in, I guess, African, Afriki, the word pas means two. So 2 + 2 = 4, and you end up with four compartments. That's what Rashi says. So now you can turn the page here to Me'ah Shiloah. He's going to speak about that Rashi. What he's going to say is certainly not the pshat in Rashi. That is 100% clear. Chassidus Torah, often we're not looking at the pshat. We're looking at kind of a deeper message we're drawing out of it. But the beauty of it is that the message he's going to say is a powerful message for tefillin overall. And it should give us a new meaning in our tefillin. How it fits in terms of the pshat in the Rashi is really secondary. And that's very common in Chassidus Shavurloch, as we call them, that the main part is the message, and what's secondary is how you fit it into the words of the actual pshat. But you see from here a remez, which is going to give us a deeper understanding of tefillin. So let's read it. We're on the, I guess it's the right column, not the cutoff one, but the next one over on the very bottom. So he quotes from the Gemara, Tat b'kisvi shtayim, pas b'afriki shtayim. So as we said, tat means two in the Kisvi language, and pas means two in Afriki language, that equals four. So what's this idea? How does this relate to tefillin? This is the word tat, mura al haschala, Shadayan lo nikr. So he says that the word tat, that suggests a beginning, which is not yet noticeable. Let's keep reading. Ked isa b'zohar hakadosh, she'os tes mura shetuvo ganuz begavei, ner nikra tova shenimsa be'mitzvah. So the word tat is composed of two of the letters tes. And the letter tes, the Zohar says, and really you find it, the Gemara says that the letter tes is a symbol for tov. Tes and tov go together. Obviously, tov begins with tes, Gemara and Shabbos. And the Zohar says that the tov of tes is not when tov is obvious in our face. It's the tov that is hidden. And you see in the structure of the letter, the tes kind of like it goes around and kind of encloses itself to a certain degree. It's like a little way to peek in. But there's an enclosure. There's kind of like a hidden compartment inside the tes, as if there's something hidden in there for us to go find that we can't yet access. So the word tat, there's two teses. That indicates the idea of tova, of goodness, which is hidden, which is locked in, which is a treasure. V'zehu be'kisvi. And this is in Kisvi. So Kisvi in pshat means a language called Kisvi. But the Ishbitzer says, "Shebaschalo she'adam maschil b'maisa mitzvos ve'avoda ve'inu margesh pem shum tam kisa b'gemara v'sibol b'mitzvos." The word kisvi, I mean, comes the word kasef, shoulder, a burden, and the idea being that when a person starts doing a mitzvah, it could be a person as he develops in life and he's just encountering the world of Torah mitzvos and he's taking things on. It could be in our lives, as we encounter new mitzvahs to do, we try to grow, we try to take on new things. And in the beginning, we don't always feel the tam, the enjoyment, the geshmak, the taste. We don't feel it all the time. We don't feel that enjoyment. The Gemara Brachos calls people misubalm mitzvahs. You have a load of mitzvahs upon you. Misubalm is not a very positive term. That means that you're schlepping around things. That's not something we enjoy doing. We don't enjoy schlepping things. But you're a load of mitzvahs. This idea of schlepping a mitzvah upon you, which you don't quite enjoy or feel quite yet. V'yaz nikra b'kisvi. So that's called b'kisvi, on your kasef, on your shoulders. She'arim sovel kaman detayin akasvei. And the term shoulders we often use throughout the Gemara and Halacha as taking on a burden. So the very first point of tat is bekisvi shtayim. So the word tat represents as a hidden good here. I don't quite feel it or understand it quite yet. I don't quite perceive it quite yet. It's kisvi. It's a burden on my shoulders because I've just taken on the burden. I'm doing it, but I don't. It's as a duty, as an obligation, but I don't quite feel the enjoyment. Even though the person is acting within the hidden light, you don't feel or see the light. The light is hidden at this point. But since you're doing it with the love of Hashem, I mean, he knows the right thing to do. You're doing it to reach out to Hashem. Even though you don't understand the depth of what you're doing, you don't quite understand it yet. It's just kind of something you take on as a duty. Hashem is with you. So the idea of shtayim is that you're with Hashem. So this is speaking to a person entering into the world of mitzvos, or a new mitzvah, a new level, something new we're taking on, a new kabbalah we have. And it's hard at the beginning. You start off, and you know, I gotta do this, it's the right step for me, but I don't quite feel the goodness of it, I don't feel the enjoyment, I don't feel the geschmack, I don't feel into it quite yet. But I do it because it's right, I take it on as a burden, and that's the kisvi, but we should know at that point, there's a hidden good within it, that's the tat, the test, and we should know that Hashem is there with us every step of the way. So that's the first point, that's tat. And then it continues, upas, the next part of the word tot is pas. Pas mora al harchava. The word pas means to broaden, to widen something. Like it says, yaft elokim leyefes. So many Rishonim there say it means Hashem should expand yefes. Yaft elokim yefes, Hashem should expand yefes. The word pas means to expand. Masha adam margish tam kishikvar heir loshes baruch lehavina omek. Because what happens? As you take on a mitzvah and you stick to it consistently, with focus and with love, eventually, suddenly it hits you. And you feel the energy, you feel the emotion, you feel the love, you feel the enjoyment of the mitzvah. You become a wider, a more sensitive person in terms of ruchnius. The aura of Hashem shines down upon you and you understand the depth of it. So that's the next step in a mitzvah. There's a process here. You start off, I'm doing it because I have to, and it's my duty and it's my burden, and I don't feel the good, but I know it's there. And then suddenly, after a while, the mitzvah says, wow, this is great. This is the best feeling ever. I feel connected, I feel inspired. That's the path. You get widened. So now you take on the rest of that Rashi. The word pas be afriki, so again, afriki in the pshat is a language, but the word afriki also connotes shulashan chayrus, freedom. Shulashan piruka. In the Gemara, the word piruka is to redeem, is to free something. Shetirutz purik, also give me an answer. Shetirutz purik ola kushya, motzi inyan mimaisar lechavshi. When you give an answer, that means that there's something which is confused, it's closed in, it's unclear, and then you free it up, you free it open when you give it, when you answer it. So that's the word afriki. So there's a second stage of mitzvah called afriki, that things become free, expanded, open, because I've been doing my burden, and when I have a burden, I feel like I'm locked into it. It's a duty, it's an obligation, and I can't get out of it, but I'm stuck. But suddenly, the whole world opens before you, and you're like, wow, this mitzvah is incredible, this mitzvah is a geschmack, I love it, it feels great, I feel connected, I feel like I'm growing, and that's the idea of the afriki. This is the idea that we always interchange the words for a melech and a ben chorin. Like on Pesach, we're supposed to act like ben chorin, act like melechim. So in Shas, we say, who is the greatest melech? Who is the most free person out there? Mm-hmm. It's the rabbanim. Because they've reached a point where they have this idea of pas. They've taken on the mitzvahs to the point where they feel they're on top. They feel their joy, they feel that they're expanded and they're free. This is the idea of shtayim again. That Hashem is there helping him, agreeing with him, and supporting him, and bringing him to the right destination. So I want to try to expand this a little bit to understand how it fits into tefillah. I mean, this is a beautiful idea just in general. This is the development of person in Torah mitzvos. At first, you take on, again, it could be the whole world Torah mitzvos in a broader sense, or a specific, you know, points of growth. But why is tefillah this? You know, tefillin is a very interesting mitzvah, because tefillin, if we look into the inyanim of tefillin, you have in it both concepts. There's the concept of the tefillin being kind of like straps, like things which bind you. So you bind your tefillin upon yourself. It's like you're being chained to Hashem. You're submitting yourself to Hashem's eved. That's one idea of tefillin. So it's that I am doing my duties to Hashem, I'm being meshabed, as we say, if you look at the paragraph prior to tefillin, we talk about being meshabed ourselves. We're enslaving ourselves, we're submitting ourselves to Hashem, on our arms and our heads. There's our actions and our thoughts and our hearts. It's all combined in there. And we are becoming Hashem's Avadim, regardless of whether or not we like it or feel the joy or the pleasure, but we're doing it because we know it has to be done. It's our duty and obligation. So that's one aspect of tefillin. But then also, you put your tefillin on, you say, V'yastichu le'olam. Right, Hashem is, I'm married to Hashem. There's a love of Hashem, which is deep and part of the tefillin. And you feel that through the tefillin, I feel the fact that I'm Hashem's Eved, but I feel also that I'm Hashem's spouse. And it goes both ways. There's a commitment of an obligation, a duty, and there's also a love and an emotion that comes with it. So tefillin's a mitzvah, which is supposed to help bring us to both emotions. The emotion of tat, of doing it no matter what, and bekasvi, thinking it on our shoulders, and the emotion of pas, that I'm going to be expanded, I'm going to be free, and I'm going to love what I'm doing as Hashem's spouse, as someone who loves Hashem. So this is something that we can use to enrich our tefillin experience every single day. You know, if we think about this, I mean, some days we feel more of one than the other. Some days you feel tat, you know, you feel like you're doing it because you have to, but you don't really feel into it. And some days you feel connected, you feel the past part of it. You feel like, wow, I'm so excited, I feel the geshmak is so enjoyable, and I feel so connected. But tefillin is a mitzvah which contains both these elements, and we can really pull out of it, you know, both essential parts of being Jews, the idea of the commitment and the idea of the love.
It's also interesting, because young boys, when they first put on tefillin, when they're 13, it's extremely frustrating to them.
Yeah.
I find it very difficult to wrap it around, and it's not adjusted right. So this is also fits into the idea.
Right.
When he gets older, maybe appreciates it more.
Feels more comfortable,
right,
you're more used to it, then you can feel the depth.
Gets to the past.
Yeah, very good. Right. I would even suggest that you have four parts of tefillin. You have the Shema, Vayim Shemola, Kadesh, Vayim Kivyacha. So Shema, Vayim Shemola, we always refer to as Kabbalah's whole. Shema's Kabbalah's Omachu Shemayim. You're accepting upon yourself the yoke of Hashem. It's a commitment. It's a shibud. And Vahaya is always a Kabbalah's whole. That you're accepting, you're committing the mitzvahs. So that's kind of the top part of it. That's like, I'm committing no matter what. Vahaya and Kadesh, those are ideas of Kedusha. Both of them discuss the Kedusha of the Chor, but the idea of Kedusha is kind of like the expansion. I feel the Kedusha of the mitzvah. Because those two paragraphs seem to fit more into the Pas element of it. So I think it all comes together in the Totafos, having the commitment plus the love all in one.
But Rabbi Sharon,
yes.
So maybe it's obvious, but forgive me, but so we're talking about Cherus and we're talking about love and expansion.
Yeah.
So how do those concepts unite? It doesn't seem necessarily the same.
Because I think the point is that initially you feel that you're bound to it as a duty. When you continue doing tefillin as a free person, you're doing it because you feel the joy of this point. So a person who's doing it because they're in handcuffs, they're doing it because they have to.
Uh-huh.
But when you feel that the handcuffs are lifted and you're still doing it, you're doing it because you love to.
I
think that's the difference.
The freedom.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Any questions? So the next piece is a Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes has become one of the most famous Sfas Yishevarim. He wrote, you know, both on Gemara and Lundis and also in Pasinus and Chumash and the like. He was actually much more recent. He lived at the very end of the 19th century. And he was a Ger Rebbe, and you know, he was the grandson of Chushi Arim, somebody who everybody looked at as really a tremendous gadol in all areas of Torah, Tzvas Emes. So he's going to be talking about the next pasuk here. It's in the next copy of the Chumash, pasuk Lamed Dalet. Vayisa Ames Betseko Terem Yechmatz. It says that Klal Yisrael, when they left Mitzrayim, they carried their dough before it became chametz, the famous idea of matzah and Pesach. And it says, Misharosam Tzuros Besimlosam Al Shechmam. They had their dough wrapped up in like their cloth and their clothing on their shoulders. So left Mitzrayim, this is the famous vision that we have of the Jews of Mitzrayim with the matzah on their shoulders. That's this pasuk here. So if you look at Rashi, the bottom right column here, Rashi, it's in brackets. So Rashi says, what's Misharosam? Rashi says it means Share Matzamar, the leftovers. I mean, they already had a Seder the previous night. They Matzar Marer. And they leftovers. So they weren't carrying around their Shmur Matzah from their Seder. They're carrying over the leftover crumbs as they had on their shoulders. Which is not the way we usually picture it, but I mean, that's the story. It makes sense that way, because this is the morning after. So they walk around holding their leftover Matzah Marer. And it's now Shechma, why is it on their shoulders? Alpi Shebehemos Harbe Halicha Limahim. Even though they had plenty of animals, they could have put it on top of the donkey. They could put it in their suitcases. They could put it anywhere. The chavim ha'is a mitzvah. They showed a love for the mitzvah. So they said, this is a mitzvah, and even though we did the mitzvah last night, this is the leftovers of the mitzvah, it's so precious to us, we're going to stick it onto our shoulders and carry it around like our precious baby. rather than stick it into a wagon or onto an animal or into a suitcase. That's what they said. So if you look at the next page, Sfas Emes, the column on the left, he talks about this pasuk and this Rashi. It's interesting because just keep in mind we're focusing here on the leftovers of a mitzvah. Halachically, leftovers of a mitzvah have no kedusha. You're not supposed to do something which would disgrace them, but like you know, it's like you have a scissor string that breaks. So halachically, there's no kedusha to that. You can throw it away as long as it's respectful. You know, a lulav, as long as it's respectful, you can throw it in the garbage. It doesn't, you know, you have to be respectful to it. That's about it.
I have a bunch of seals from the menorah.
Right.
So I have it sitting there, so I'm trying to figure out what to do with it. So I can wrap it up and throw it away. You're supposed to burn it?
Yeah, you can burn it by itself, except Pesach. Burn it becomes it. Certainly.
Only my wife.
So if you double wrap them from the garbage, there's no issue. It's fine. There's a kedusha to it. So the leftover mitzvah, if it's a leftover from a tefillin, a davar kedusha, it's a different story. But a davar mitzvah leftover doesn't have any kedusha. You have to be respectful of itself. You can't disgrace it anyway. So they're walking around with the leftovers of the mitzvah. So the Sfas Emes brings over here. Amar b'machilta, he brings the Medrash. This is what we quoted from Rashi. If you love them, behemos from chavis a mitzvah, they didn't have any animals. Rather, the whole purpose was to carry on their shoulders to show their love of the mitzvah. Kine ikar tachlis ha mitzvah. This nisher menu reshima ba'ad. So what's the purpose of a mitzvah? So, I mean, first and foremost, we're doing Hashem's will. And like we said before, like it or not, we got to do it. But what's the goal? I mean, Hashem has a goal with the mitzvah. We have a goal with the mitzvah. And the goal is the mitzvah should leave an impression upon us. I mean, doing a mitzvah shouldn't just be, I'm doing a duty, I'm doing an act. But it should be something that I do it and it changes me. It's like a life-changing experience. Every single mitzvah, it's impacting me. I'm now a different person, I'm a better person, I'm more connected to Hashem. I'm more controlled by Yitzhara. A mitzvah can have many, many outcomes to it. But the Yom Mitzvah is not just the action done, but it's something which is supposed to make an impression upon me, which changes me, makes me a different person. It sticks with us. Like we said elsewhere, Perish and Mitzvosai Titzbon Itcha. Pasuk in Mishlei says, "My mitzvos you shall hide within you," meaning that a mitzvah should be within you. Once you do a mitzvah, it should remain with you. It shouldn't just be I did it and I'm done, but there's an impact which is lasting of a mitzvah. Kasher osin a mitzvahs berov ahava tshuka nisheros ha'aras a mitzvah benefesh adam. So we do a mitzvah with an abundance of love and desire, then the light of this mitzvah will remain in the person's nefesh. So it's not just an action of the limbs, but if you put yourself into it, it's an action of the heart, and that changes you. And that's what he's pointing out here, that a mitzvah you just do without any desire, without any focus, okay, that's just the limbs doing the mitzvah. And you know what, you get credit, you did your mitzvah yotzei, and Hashem will give you schar. Doesn't change the person. If you do a mitzvah with the rov ahava v'tshuka, you put your whole leva nefesh into it. You have love, you have passion, you're excited. So then the mitzvah is just not only your yotzei the mitzvah, but an aura remains in the person, which changes you. And you're now a different person. You keep building up. Imagine daily, Baruch Hashem, we do many mitzvahs every single day. If we do them properly, there's an aura of Hashem that constantly builds in us. And we become different people as time goes on because this aura is building up and it's changing us. There's a reshima made. This impression made upon us. It's quoting from the Zohar. And the Zohar says that the Zechuyos, the mitzvah of a tzaddik, are impressed upon his bones. Meaning, and the simple meaning being that the tzaddik, he puts so much into a mitzvah, and mitzvah he does, it stamps him. It changes him. It's in his bones. He's a different person now. So we talk about Matzah Mara, thank you. Matzah Mara. Shuos b'simlosam. You know, mitzvos and matzos, we darshan back and forth. So you can, shmartimus and matzah, shmartimus mitzvos. So matzah and maror, the leftovers, so they were impressed upon Kla Yisrael. Remazal levush and nasa de mitzvos. This alludes to, it's not just they were carrying around crumbs, that's not the point. The point is that the leftovers from their mitzvah, they had with them. I mean, the mitzvah had made such an impression upon them that they walked around now as different people. We talked about the idea they had a different levush. So this is a simple understanding of it, is that you know they connected with the world differently now. You know, our clothing is the way that we present ourselves to the world. The world sees us. When you do a mitzvah properly, now you're a different person. You're now wearing a different levush. You've changed. You're a new being. So Klal Yisrael, they had the crumbs and the leftover maror, and the point wasn't the crumbs, the package of crumbs and the package of lettuce. That wasn't the point. The point was that they walked away from the mitzvah Pesach night with the leftovers still with them. There was a reshima made. There was an impression made upon them which changed who they were. And that was the amazing outcome of mitzvahs they did. V'chema she'darshu chazal u'pasav yichu lehem lo mehiktim l'chichas Pesach afisha ebin Yisrael arum ve'eriyam in mitzvahs. So same idea, you know, the chazal talk about the idea that we're supposed to do a mitzvah of kicha, to take the carbon Pesach, before we shechted it. This is 5 days before we took the carbon. And the point being that we had to make ourselves different people in order to even be ready for the karban. So just doing that one mitzvah of taking the karban impressed upon us a certain kedusha, a certain life-changing experience, which made us ready to then encounter Hashem's karban. So he says, well, let's understand this a little bit deeper now. Because when you're doing a mitzvah, the Shas said, the moment of the mitzvah, the goal is that I'm doing Hashem's will. Finished. I'm not doing it for myself. I mean, even though we're talking about a person changes and is elevated through mitzvah, our goal ideally should be I'm doing it for Hashem. That's our goal. So you do the mitzvah, at the time of the mitzvah, the goal is Hashem. But the tzarcha adam lasses mitzvah shem shemayim bilvad. So the mitzvah should be done at the time for the sake of Hashem. Aval chanas ha-mitzvah v'etshuka kodom mitzvah l'achareha. But the preparation for a mitzvah, the desire for the mitzvah before and after, this is what's going to change that person. Because when I'm doing the mitzvah, I'm just doing the action. And my action should be focused on Hashem. But the more passion that I have beforehand, and excitement, and afterwards I say, wow, that was great. I think back to the mitzvah I did, I say, that was an incredible thing. So those moments, and those emotions, and those ideals, that's what's going to change the person. Now, there's a fascinating Gemara, it says in Shabbos, I think Rabbi Yossi says, may my portion be amongst those who die on the way to a mitzvah. And the Mepharshim there, I'll say, like, what do you mean on the way to a mitzvah? Maybe you should be a person who dies during a mitzvah. What do you should die on the way to a mitzvah? So the Maharal points out, the Maharal says that a person's emotions and feelings on the way to a mitzvah, their excitement, in a certain sense, is a closer dveikas Hashem than the mitzvah itself. Because doing the mitzvah, you're doing the action. But when you're on your way to a mitzvah and you're excited about it, and you can't wait, and you're looking forward to the actual experience, the closest Hashem at that moment could even be on a higher level. So Rizzi says that if I can die at that moment when I'm on the way to a mitzvah, that's going to be the highest level, because I'm so davuk Hashem at that moment, I'm a different person. And to die from that is going to bring you to higher levels in Gan Eden. So that's what Gemara says. Mechalki mimisi b'derech mitzvah. So here too he's saying that it's the before and after of mitzvah is so significant. And that's what's going to make this malbush and nefesh. That's how the person is going to be a changed person and encounter the world differently based on this they did. So it goes the other way as well. Chazal tell us that worse than the Avera that we do is the thoughts about the Avera. Now everyone has those times where they give in and do the wrong thing. We all have those times. But, you know, there's a difference between premeditated murder and somebody who loses control. Even in America, Allah habdil. Right? So a premeditated Avera means that you're thinking about it, you're planning it, you're excited. And that makes a much worse impression on the person than the Avera itself. The Avera itself is a terrible thing. But to spend time, you know, the fantasy and the dreaming about it and the planning for it, that shows something worse about the person. And but we take it both ways. Here in mitzvah, told them to go for mitzvah. It goes the other way as well. If I sit there dreaming about mitzvahs, that has an effect on a person even greater than the mitzvah itself in some ways. Because I'm showing that it's not just the action I do, but it's the emotion, it's the excitement, it's the passion, it's the anticipation, and that changes a person. So ultimately, when you look at it from Shemayim's perspective, and you do an Avera Chas V'Shalom, so the objective destruction done by an Avera is obviously worse when the Avera is done. But that's looking from the world perspective. But what it does to the person, that's much worse through the Yehorim. So there's two angles. From Hashem's angle, there's the objective. You know, every Avera does terribly destructive things in Shemayim. Every mitzvah does incredibly constructive things in Shemayim. Amazing things. And that's from Hashem's end. On our end, what impacts me the most? So it's not the Avera itself, it's the Hirori Avera. It's not the mitzvah itself, it's the anticipation of the mitzvah. And it goes. That's the way it goes in terms of affecting the person. So the attitude that we have, the excitement, the geshmak we have in the mitzvah, that's going to be what changes us. And that's what we're looking for. V'chein hi b'mitzvah. So too with the mitzvah. Asher ikra mitzvah tzarech gavoa. The main part of mitzvah certainly is for Hashem, and it's going to do incredible things in Shemayim. Aval rov hahirhor v'etshuka al mitzvah. But the Masakha Nefesh Adam. But what makes the person different is the thoughts and planning and desire for the mitzvah. Now, I think this is something that the Hasidic world has much over the non-Hasidic world, which is that the amount of time and effort and focus preparing for a mitzvah is something that we don't all participate in ourselves. But a true chassid, you know, if we're learning from Hasidus here, I mean, they spend time beforehand with, you know, mikvah and thinking and tehillim and yihiratzon and all these things to get ready for the mitzvah itself. And if done right, those are the moments that change a person, because you're building up the excitement and the passion and anticipation for an incredible moment where you're going to connect with Hashem. And that's something which, you know, we don't do often enough. We rush in and we put on our film and we go daven and take off our film. But imagine we took a few minutes before this film and thought about, we're about to actually bind ourselves to the Borei Olam, we're fulfilling His will, we're going, like I said before, we're going to impress upon ourselves concepts of submitting ourselves and Avas Hashem, all these things, and then we put the tefillin on, it would be a different world, and we'd be different people.
It's smart of also.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yes.
About the mikvah and the tefillin, I don't know. All that too. Okay, fine. Sorry. Okay, sorry about that. Vezeu she'amru, let's finish up here. Vezeu she'amru, Razak Shbarchu Zakos Yisrael, Kirbam Torah Mitzvos, Shekol Tikunim Shel Maila, Masak Shbarchu Veyisrael, Yos Nasen Eila Tikunim, Ayidei Mitzvos, Shebnei Yisrael Osin, Ayidei Zem Mezdachachin, and the Fashos Shel Bnei Yisrael. So as it says in the Mishnah, that Hashem gave us Torah Mitzvos, Kirbam Torah Mitzvos, because Hashem wanted to mezake us. Hashem put in our hands the ability to purify our own selves through mitzvos. So there's the obligation of mitzvah and the gilsayit, but there's the concepts of the excitement and the passion and the desire before and after, which truly change the person. So we should all be zecha to learn to appreciate mitzvos and let it uplift us in ways that go far beyond the actual doing. That's the idea of carrying the leftovers of the matzah at that point.